For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Remember, we got the Dallas Cowboys pre-draft presser coming up at 11:30. And with that in mind, I wanted to throw out a hypothesis for you.
Oh, man, I've heard your hypothesis
question. Okay, this will be a sports-based non...
Just ask G-Bag.
Yeah. I think some people on G-Bag were surprised to know that I talk like that or I can talk like that.
If you want to hear Kevin talk like that, check him out in Dallas.
Pluckers. In the Dallas.
Thursday.
Wait. At the Pluckers in Dallas. If you want to know any of my hypotheticals, I will tell you. I just want you to know.
Be prepared.
Parental discretion is very much advised.
Yeah, so don't send your kids.
For some of these hypotheticals. All right. So a few days back, ESPN put out a mock draft that said this would be the team's biggest filling of a need, and this would be the team's biggest value at each position in the draft. For example, Titans need Cam Ward, best value, Abdul Carter. And then Browns, biggest need, Shador, best value, Travis Hunter. All right, so you go down the list and we get to number 12, where that is particularly relevant for the Dallas Cowboys. And I know there's been a lot of talk about Tet. I'm going to say I do not think it is as clear cut as that is the receiver that they prefer. And this is what fascinated me. What's the pick that would best fill the need for the Dallas Cowboys? Matthew Golden. Here's a blurb. The lack of a wide receiver two opposite CeeDee Lamb has held Dallas's offense back. Golden fills that need better than the rest of the available players would for the Cowboys' other holes like defense, running back. And then it said best value pick, Matthew Golden. So
at 12?
At 12. What do you think about the idea? Because do you think that's high?
See, so I'm starting to see more and more, and this makes a lot of sense, that the Cowboys are very willing to trade down.
Yes. And Steven told us that.
Yeah. And he said, not trade up. More
trade
because
down.
why would you want to trade down?
Yeah.
Collect more picks, maybe get a better value. Because that's, you love value when it comes to the draft.
And can I just real quick, that is just simply an asset deal. Because like if you could drop from 12 to 17, and let's say you're thinking about, I don't know, like Golden, Barron, Loveland, like you have several players that you're like, I would take them at 17. You could drop down to 17 and pick up a third round pick.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work like this, but that's a potential starter.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where I like this. I never thought Golden at 12 though. I just didn't, but the more I hear, the more I'm starting to feel that the Cowboys like him whenever they saw him. So that's an interesting thing to see. But that's wide receiver is the biggest hole to fill according to them. That can happen there?
I think so.
Because, I mean, listen, dude, there's still cornerback. If you're feeling like that, you know, we're always going to feel like your defensive tackle position's light.
Agreed.
And I don't know that you have the right value at that spot. But running
potentially with running back.
Dude, you don't have a running back.
Yeah. No,
you have two running backs.
It now looks
like. What have we learned about that, Kevin?
That you have no. Actually, I do think we have no running backs right now with. I want to say all due respect, but if you're going to slam somebody, I guess you probably shouldn't say with all due respect. I just don't think the running backs you have now are very good.
Not yet.
So it looks now like Ashton Jeanty could go as high as 5, perhaps no lower than 6. So the idea of him being there at 12 right now feels foolish. But if for some reason he were...
And the Cowboys would want him to fall to their lap.
Yeah, and I would be like, please, God, make that pick. But Matthew Golden. So do you think that that could be a need and the best value at that spot? And where does everybody fall on Golden versus Tet? Because, look, there are some people who will tell you that the Dallas Cowboys are all about Tet McMillan. Mm-hmm. There are other people who are like, not so fast, my friend, Lee Corso style, and they think they are both Tet and Golden are pretty close, depending on if you decide to trade down or not.
Two uniquely different receivers. And, you know, Cynthia Freeland was on with us from NFL Network yesterday, and she was like, don't look at the stats for Matthew Golden to figure out what his production is.
Because they didn't always use him.
And I don't know why. You know, I don't know if there was a thing that that Sark was like, you know, I can't use him that much, or he's best whenever I use him for these things. I like Tet's, I like the size of the height advantage, the catch radius that he's working with. I feel like you can probably trade down and still get Golden if you want to and pick up a pick. That's how I would feel if Tet was gone. And I didn't absolutely love a cornerback, and Jeanty's gone, and I'm like, I'm not hot that high. I feel like I can get a running back in a lot of different rounds here, second and third round especially.
Yeah, actually, that is a really interesting
point. If I'm feeling that, then I'm probably saying, let me see who I can dance with here, trade down, and see if I can get Golden at another area. And that's another thing, too. That's why I asked Cynthia yesterday, and this part of the conversation, I don't really know what Schottenheimer wants yet.
Yeah.
It was after the draft with Dan Quinn, whenever they started discussing, and they'd kind of said it, but this is what we were looking for. And they defined exactly what they were looking for after the draft, and they, look, we feel like we did it. And I was listening to all those press conferences. We feel like we're doing that with Schottenheimer. Today's the first time that I even know that they're really discussing that, other than the coaches' meetings. So I don't really know if they're like, I need a small shifty receiver to go with CeeDee Lamb that can, you know, take the roof off, or maybe we need a bigger guy. I have no clue where they are at this moment.
Now, somebody brought up differing opinions on Matthew Golden, and we're going to get into something about mock drafts tomorrow that I did a lot of extra stuff for that I think is going to be really interesting. From the 903, Golden will still be there at 17, and they think you can trade down and get that extra third or fourth. But then another person from the 214 said Golden could go early. I think Kelvin Banks Jr. will be the best player at 12. And again, another Texas player right there, and you're going back to the offensive line.
I think it's interesting, too, when you start seeing other names at receiver that you feel like might be really low, you know, like in second round, lower first round guys. And you're like, hold on, do they really like him? Because he's such a great route runner. I haven't heard anything about some of these other receivers as much as I've heard about these two.
And that's what's fascinating about this draft. We've talked about it. We asked Steven about it. There's a line of thinking that some people say 10 to 40, like players number 10 or 11 through player number 40. They all think they're fairly equivalent. So mm-hmm. If there's other receivers in there, that would kind of fit that. Then there are other people who think it's 41 through 80, where all the players are kind of the same. So I know there's a lot of speculation about lack of trade downs and everything like that, but I don't know. I would be fine with trading down just because it does really feel like you have a lot of holes on this team, and then maybe if you were able to trade down and like still pick up Tyler Booker or something like that, I feel like that's something most of us would be pretty stoked about.
What if they
about?
Did drop down and pick up Omarion Hampton?
Yeah.
In a drop-down version.
Look, I agree, because what would you do otherwise with your second or third round pick? Well, one would hope.
Yeah, probably get one of the
Yeah, one would hope with your... Look, then again with the Cowboys, if they try to sell us, and you know what? This is my prediction for today. How important, you get a question, something like this. How important is it to draft a running back in the first 2 days? Oh, you know, I don't know if you guys noticed, we got two stud running backs in the offseason. And you're going to want to stab a pen into your head when you hear that. But let's say you do that. You pick Hampton, you pick up, let's just say, an extra third. logic would dictate you take a running back in the second or third. So what have you done now? Well, you picked up that extra pick, and now you can use it differently in the second and third. And now you're going to end up probably having four top 100 picks, depending on, well, I guess you would have four top 100 picks. And so I think I would be fine with that.
Yeah. I'm going through all these different scenarios now because, okay, let's have the offensive line conversation.
Yep.
That's not on our list necessarily.
Yeah.
But it is definitely on other people's list for the Cowboys. I don't think the Cowboys, I think they're looking at offensive line and saying we're comfortable going into it this way, even if you're not. They're doing a Nico here. We don't care what you think. I think they feel comfortable, even though they know they have to have better depth.
And so I know position flex comes into it, but I'm fascinated by the discussion of, like, let's say Banks versus Booker. Because wouldn't you more immediately think guard? Although I know there are a lot of people who are like, hey, it's time to flip out our right tackle. And you could still save some money if you wanted to do that. But I've not gotten the sense that that's what the Cowboys want to do at all.
No. I feel like they're just like, we got this group. We feel comfortable with Brock Hoffman as our guard, whether you like it or not. And we're going forward with Guyton. And man, was it? No, we'll get to that later on.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You want to stick with NFL Draft, though? Because coming up next, we could talk more NFL Draft, including I got some prop bets for you. Next on the...
And circles the net. Across that shot. Score! One-timer! Saying it on the power play! Under a minute to go in the first, and this game deadlocked.
Man, that was interesting, because yesterday you got a goal at the end of the first, you got a goal at the end of the second, and I know it wasn't at the end of overtime, but you were getting pretty deep into that first overtime when the Stars score the game winner. They are victorious. Tie that series up 1-2-1. Though right now, I got the sense, Corey, that you wanted to stick with NFL draft talk.
That's fine. I still love what happened last night in that Stars game. That was phenomenal.
For sure.
Somebody texted in earlier and said, it's one game. And I was like, look, when we win one game in the playoffs, I'm excited. When we lose one, I sulk. That's how I fan.
And it's a race to four.
And like you always say, Kevin, yeah, exactly. One game's important.
Yeah. Like you're 25% of the way there.
Yeah. When it comes to, don't tell me how to fan for one, all right? But I'll let them worry about one game at a time. Not me. Not in this series.
So I have some prop bets for you. And I think there's some money to be made, by the way.
Hold on. Is this 7 minutes and Kevin that we're about to do right now?
I still don't know if I love the title.
It's Kevin's betting segment, 7 minutes and Kevin.
By the way.
Where we learn how Kevin thinks with his brain on betting.
Did you see my, Alec, I sent it to you. Did you see my heartbreaking underdog play yesterday?
It's hilarious because Jokic did the same thing to me a couple years ago.
Yeah, man.
So I got 7-1. Now, we talked about it. You can get up to 1,000-1 on your money on underdog. But I got 7-1 yesterday. Brunson over 27.5 points. He had 37. James Harden, more than 2.5 3-pointers made. He had 4. Nikola Jokic, more than 49.5 points, rebounds, and assists total. Finished out at 49.
Oh! How many minutes did he play? He played
the entire second half. Okay. He missed a 3-pointer. Pretty much at the buzzer that would have tied the game. And I know he had a tough turnover in the last minute. That's an interesting bet right there. Yeah. So if we would have got one more point or rebound or assist, 7 times 1 on our money. That's what I want to try to help people out. By the way, use the promo code MASTERPIECE. You can get up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. Among these three quarterbacks, which quarterback will get taken first? Shador, Dart, or Milroe?
I think interesting. The fact, I don't know if Brian Daboll is screwing with us or if he is being honest, but the meteoric rise of Jackson Dart has altered everything, I think. That being said,
agreed.
Alec, do you confirm, do you agree with me on this, that if Shador is there, that Kellen Moore is taking him? Because I heard this morning in Bobby's segment that was the case.
Yeah, that's the feeling. I get that Kellen Moore really wants to start fresh there because,
okay.
I mean, Derek Carr is going to be gone pretty soon.
Right.
So I think it's going to be Dart, but if he makes it out of the top five, then it's probably going to be Shador.
So if you think Dart could go earlier than the other two, 2.5-1 times your money. If you think it could be Melro, 7.5 to 1 on your money. Cow. Will?
That's a lot. That's a reach, yes. though, you know?
I know. That's, hey.
One scout says the best running quarterback he's ever seen.
Now, will a Twitter or Instagram account of a draftee be hacked on draft day?
Absolutely.
5.5 to 1 on your money if you think so. 5.5 to 1 on your money.
So when was the last, like, did it happen last year?
You know what? I should have had a better idea.
The only real example I have is Laramie Tunsil. And that's a long time ago. But
was he hacked or was he too high?
He's like, I don't want to go with that team. I want to go somewhere else.
Okay.
But I can't remember who recently has had that. But I'll say, you know what, Kevin, I'm not going to bet on that one. That one's not, even though it's 5.5, I'll bet $1 to win $5.
How many dogs will be shown in the first round of the draft?
Abdul However, Carter.
No, this is important. That does not include commercials. You can't count commercial dogs. These have to be dogs in the house or an emotional support dog at the draft. I don't know.
Maybe. What's the over-under?
2.5.
I'll take the under.
Okay. Alec?
They're inviting less draftees to the event, so you're going to see
a lot of house parties.
A lot of house cameras. I'll take the over.
Okay. I think there is potential here. Will the number one overall pick cry?
Yes. Yeah.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes.
The odds are decidedly against that.
Okay.
So consider this.
Is Cam Ward not a crier?
Yeah, maybe that is probably the case. But like, if Cam Ward does cry, 10 to 1 on your money.
Really?
I think there's potential there.
Yeah, unless he is just an unemotional, you know, robot, then that's something you might want to look at. How has he approached things in post game press conferences or post game?
Is 10 to 1 not enough to take a chance that you're like, you know what, maybe this moment it will get to him?
Yeah, one shining moment.
Yeah, it's basketball, but I get your point. All right, Alec,
like that song can't be played any other time.
I mean, it feels like that, right? Like anytime, like I think the song At Last by Etta James is one of the greatest songs of all time. But if I hear it play, I immediately look towards a non-existent dance floor to see if it's the first dance for a couple. You know what I'm saying?
That makes sense. Some songs just go with some things.
All right, Alec, how many draft day trades will there be in round one? So Thursday, when you're at the Pluckers in City View in Fort Worth, how many draft day trades are we going to see?
I think not as many as I would like. I'm going to go with 2.
Oh.
I think there will be 2.
If Corey? You set the over-under at 3, so 2.5,
yep.
I would go over.
Boys, you might be taking the under. You're definitely taking the under. Over-under on this, 4.5.
Okay, ooh. I'm still going. I'll take the under because I think it's going to be 4.
Okay, and it's fascinating. I think the reason it's so high is just because of the historical nature of the draft thus far in terms of nobody has traded their pick. So I think they're like, hold on, something's going to shake out there. All right, what will be seen first? A draftee popping champagne or a draftee drinking beer?
Man, I'm going to say neither. But popping champagne would be what I would go for.
That is the heavy favorite. If you pick beer, 3 to 1 on your money. If you think the first thing you'll see is a draftee drinking some beer.
In the 817, I'd cry if the Titans drafted me.
That's a good point.
That's a really good joke right there.
From the 214, LOL, people will bet on anything. Which leads us to our next question. Will Deion Sanders have sunglasses on his face?
Yes.
Okay, so I believe if it's propped up, that counts as your head and not your face and thus would not cash. If you think yes, 1.5 times your money on this. If you think Deion Sanders will, in fact, have sunglasses on his head. By the way, I know we got to bounce out of here. The leading candidates to get traded on draft night for players who are already in the league, Jaire Alexander at 4-1, Mark Andrews at 5-1, and Trey Hendrickson also at 5-1. Excuse me. We're the KNC Masterpiece. I was going to say 6-1.
I'm proud of you.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will hear from the Dallas Cowboys for their official pre-draft presser, or you'll hear from us because they're running behind. Next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We will join the Dallas Cowboys draft press conference when it starts. From the 940, Kevin and Corey, I listen to The Fan because of you two. That's so nice. No other hosts on the show seem like they're 100% comfortable with each other or like they're really friends. So I met somebody yesterday at a Target, and I hope he doesn't mind me telling this story.
Look at you.
Because it's already started.
Target, follow that money.
Is Target a fancy people place? Man, I don't know. I think my sister will disavow this now, but back in the day, we said something about buying something at Kohl's, and she goes, "Ugh, that's where poor people shop."
Oh, my
and
gosh.
I was like, whoa.
Wow.
I think she's changed some of that philosophy.
I would
over
say
the
her
year.
Name right now, but
no, yeah, that's probably going to be problematic.
I've gotten you in a lot of trouble before.
So the conversation started, and he was talking very loudly, but it was fine. But like we finished up, and I'm pretty sure he went around the corner and met back up with his girlfriend, and she said, "Why are you talking so loud?" And he goes, "I was nervous," and I kind of got a kick out of that. It's always really cool when you get a chance to meet people. And Corey, I think you're with this. Don't be afraid to come on by and
Absolutely.
Say hello. Just don't go the route that sometimes people do. And that's take a picture of you and don't talk to you and then post it on social media and be like, "I'm pretty sure I saw you at the Target, Kevin." That is the wrong way to go about it.
I don't know. I kind of like it, you know?
Do you?
Just tag at 105.3 The Fan in the tweet if you want to. If you want to do that approach.
Okay.
I'm okay with it. You know, I'm okay with stalkers.
Okay.
That as long as they're letting me know they're stalking.
Just like you and Cynthia. All right, let's play.
I am not stalking her.
Tell the story then, Corey.
I noticed that I'm not following her on Instagram. I'm still not following her on Instagram, but I did go to her Instagram just to see what life's like. Because, Kevin, you have to see what they're up to, you know, what their thoughts are on things. That way you know questions to ask them, right? Because if they've been up to something, Instagram, Twitter, great resources for this. As I was going through all of her pictures on Instagram, I found out that we are in the photo dump from New Orleans. So she was generous enough to post a picture of me and you and her hanging out at the Super Bowl.
Wasn't that like 2 months ago?
Yes. And it's like the sixth picture. So like she hasn't really posted much lately, honestly. I don't know. I got to go look again. I mean, a minute. She's great, dude. She's enjoyable.
No, I'm not disputing that she's great. I just think.
Well, Chuck just texted me. And he said, "How is someone going to think Eric and I aren't really friends?" They've worked so hard to make their friendship seem real.
Okay. No, that is not what I was going to say.
They went to school together.
Okay. They are friends for real. All right. You have options. College players.
Nobody ticks off Zach more than Eric.
That's true. Charles Barkley or Alex Ovechkin?
Barkley.
All right. Give me cut number 7. Friendly advice from Charles Barkley. He wants Nico to stop.
"Listen, man, I consider you a friend of mine, Nico Harrison. I consider you a friend of mine. I wish you nothing but the best. I thought you did a good job last year with the Mavs. And obviously whatever happened this year didn't work out. Man, don't do no more press conferences. Like, I don't even know what you're doing. I really don't. Like, I got sympathy and love for you, but I have zero idea what you're trying to do. This war is over, brother. You taking the L. I hope you keep your job. I hope that team get healthy. But, man, don't do any more interviews. Please don't."
All right. Now, I heard that was the crux of the morning show today. But
oh, really?
I feel like that is a pretty agreed upon opinion.
Stop doing things.
Yeah, because, like, you can tell everybody about Anthony Davis and defense as much as you want. Right now, just right now, people aren't going to buy it. Like, they're not buying what you're selling. He is very consistent on his messaging. of what he's selling. Because why? Because he 100% believes it. It's just people aren't buying it. They don't want to hear it. And I think you should just kind of let that go.
Yeah. He wants to try and fix everything his way. And you're right. So that being said, though, Kevin, weren't we upset about him not talking?
Yes. Oh, no. I'm saying for people.
Oh, okay.
For me.
Gotcha.
No. For me personally, what did we talk about? I wanted them to lay out some of their plans for the future. Yes. They don't think Lively's going to need surgery. They don't think AD is going to need surgery. They think Kyrie is in their plans, whether he opts in or opts out, and they've already started looking at the draft. Those were the things that I wanted to know. I have no problem with Nico continuing to speak. It just feels like it re-agitates the fan base, who they're probably not going to let it go, but it feels like maybe they're less likely to be as mad about it.
At some point last year, and I'm pretty sure we can pinpoint that moment, Jerry got tired of being asked the question about Derrick Henry.
Yes.
And it was. You would hear it Monday morning or Tuesday morning, and then probably Friday morning too. It was consistent. You know, we were asking him, hey man, do you like, and he kind of got tired of it. And he kind of snapped a little bit last year.
Sure.
Steven felt the same way. I do wonder if Nico is going to, if this is, I don't think it's done with the media with Luka. I think they're going to continue to ask questions about it whenever things pop up. Will he ever snap? Will he ever have that moment where he snaps and he's just like, that's it, I'm done talking about this. And he snaps at a media member and has that. I don't know, man.
Your message is clear. This is my biggest takeaway, and I know some people might not like it. Nico's message and plan are very clear. Whether you hate it or not, it's very clear. He's been very consistent. I don't think he needs to keep explaining it because people are just going to ask a variation of the exact same question,
yeah,
and he's
right.
Answered it. We haven't gotten the answer in some cases that we want, but it's the only answer he's going
to
give.
I wonder what is the way to shut that down, though. Is it to snap? Is it to finally crack?
Honestly, I think a faux apology would have gotten it done if he was like, I just want to say I'm really sorry to the Metroplex in the state of Texas,
Jerry,
and Mavs fans.
I'm sorry I didn't get Derrick Henry, and we all would have just given up.
Yes, because then what?
Because they did dig in, right? They were like, hey, no, man, look, he wouldn't have done. They did have he wouldn't have been this here.
Yes.
He wasn't what we want. There are lots of different
things.
It's
not going to work.
We got faith in our guys.
It's kind of like when you proactively make fun of something ridiculous about yourself. It takes the steam out of people to be like, yeah, well, you don't have any. Yeah, I already said that. And you're like, oh, crap.
Yep.
And so I think if he just apologized for
like
some,
an 8 Mile. You're
for
right.
Some people, that would make a difference. Yes. I don't know if you want to follow all of the messages of 8 Mile, but I guess that is one of them.
One lesson at a time.
All right. Alex Ovechkin, he set a brand new highest sold card record ever for himself. They had a card of his that sold for $381,000 at Sotheby's. Corey, do you think he'll ever be in a position?
Is that the real estate place?
No. What? I don't know what that is in reference to.
Yeah, International Realty. Realty. Sotheby's.
Okay. What?
My agent, the lady that I use.
Works for Sotheby's?
She worked for Sotheby's.
Okay,
yeah.
I only knew Sotheby's as being an auction house. So this question is going to be confusing to you then. Do you think you'll ever have enough money
to pay $381,000 for something?
Actively really bid on something at Sotheby's. It doesn't have to be this.
I would have to sell my house.
Okay.
In order to get that. And then what am I going to do? Live under that? It's going to ruin it.
That's a great point, I guess.
And my family can't fit under it.
All right. Let's go to college football. The transfer portal. So the deadline is coming up. I believe it is today. And you see multiple players that are in the transfer portal right now, despite the fact that they're out of eligibility.
Okay.
Now, you might be
wondering,
what the hell kind of sense does that make? This is the hell kind of sense it makes. So NCAA members supposedly have had discussions. Now, they do not confirm nor deny this, that there will be legislation made under a final decision as part of the House settlement. Because, you know, they've been working on that House settlement for billions of dollars to athletes and everything like that. There is some belief that as part of that House settlement, there will be a fifth year of eligibility automatically granted in there, even if you, you know, didn't get hurt or didn't go through COVID or whatever,
right?
Any number of exceptions that you can have. And so multiple people are going into the transfer portal just in case that does pass, because otherwise your eligibility is up. But if you're in the transfer portal, then you have the opportunity to just kind of sit in this like void until perhaps a decision gets made and maybe you get another year of eligibility, which means even if you're not going to go pro, well, you can get another year of college paid for, maybe wrap up your degree or
more NIL money.
True. I cannot rule that out.
And then again, if you're not going to go pro, sit back on that pile of NIL cash and invest in a local business.
I'm curious what percentage
or invest in local radio.
College athletes get a pile of money from NIL.
Like,
but
back up the Brinks truck. And yeah. Like, yeah, no, I don't know how it works, but I still think, yeah, I think this is a brilliant idea and great advice on the part of whoever is advising them. If it's lawyers or whatever, to say this is another opportunity for you.
Now, I'm going to switch into, we're going to call this mini gridiron gravy right here. What is your hierarchy of running backs once we get past Ashton Jeanty? Because we've talked a lot this morning about Omarion Hampton, Quinshon Judkins mm-hmm. has been brought up a few times. If you're looking for somebody to trade down, I'm curious how you stack the running backs, because the thought is, second to third round, there'll be plenty of running backs there if you want to make that move.
So it's Jeanty, Hampton, Caleb Johnson is probably next. I think he might be gone. That's why Travion Henderson has seemed like the logical option for the Cowboys. Okay. But if they don't get wide receiver in round one, one of the Iowa State kids might be their better option in round two. So then where does that leave you, Kevin? And that's why I think Judkins will be gone. But I keep doing mock drafts, the draft generator, and I keep landing on Dylan Sampson in the third round.
Okay, so I was going to ask you. Oh, we're ready to go. The Cowboys right here on the fan. Almost ready.
Thanks, everybody, for coming out today. We're going to get started with some special remarks from Jerry.
Well, I will start. I bet everybody in here could chime in. But, David, we really just want to share, and this is a significant time for us, and this visit with the media and you is a big time. We just want to share our respect and appreciation for 5 decades of putting up with me, putting up. Thank you. Came before. Yes. And I'm sitting up here noodling. David wrote a masterpiece on my noodling. So we're getting that down real good right here. But you've gone from here to there. I'm noodling. But seriously, David, as far as even-handed, a very balanced, but accurate look at anything that I've been involved in and the Cowboys have been involved in through my view over the years. Agree with everything you've written? Of course not, at all. But have just always appreciated the effort on your part to balance it out. And they have a place for guys like you, really, in the history of the Cowboys. Blackie Sherrod, Randy Galloway, people like that, knew Blackie back from far as back as when I played at Arkansas. I've had met him back that far. And so you're right there with him. If I thought about my time with you, and as it turns out, we have spent a lot of time over the years, but it's been very, very, very special. My coach, Frank Brawls at Arkansas, once was talking to me, and he said, Jones, I've recruited and have two genius IQs that have played for me, Jimmy Johnson, and you're sure as hell not one of them, Barry Switzer. Well, Clarence, you sure as hell aren't in the same league. This guy sitting right here. David, I don't want to make this any more than it needs to be to recognize how much you have meant to sports, which I've always considered to be a part with you as a brother in that respect, but certainly to the extent it's been impacted the Dallas Cowboys and our great fans. We thank you and regret that you decided to hang them up, but congratulations on a great career from our percentage.
And we always start with you.
I was going to say, I don't know if you remember, I was in the your introductory press conference at Valley Ranch on that Saturday evening, a momentous one. I remember it ended in thinking, that guy's a wild ride. I'm going to enjoy this because certainly once PR professionals get ahead of him, he's going to be more polished. He's going to be more, you know, a little less forthcoming, be a little more buttoned up in these press conferences. Thank you for ignoring their advice.
Be careful. I've still got some microphone here. Well, I could have never dreamed when I hope that we can find pictures that would reflect you in there with that group at the time. But what's so crazy is I can remember detail of that better than I can remember yesterday. And it's just amazing at how that had evolved. And, of course, wouldn't have had any idea. I remember Stephen and my family and everybody sitting in there at that time and I had seen Coach Landry earlier in the day, and of course, without a question, one of the PR had Hill Knowlton, one of the best in the country, biggest troubleshooter ever, had represented Pierre Salinger, some of the great people at all. He was my advisor, brought him in, and then I had one of the best PR advisors that you could have in this immediate Dallas, Texas area. And Mr. Bryant said, Jerry, you should let me make the change for Coach Landry. You should do that. That's not fair to anybody, and I should do it. And my PR and everybody said, no, he's not going to be here because you're coming. And be a man, step up there and take it on the chin, and step up there and go do it. One of the greatest PR disasters that's ever been imagined at that time. Still living with it at that time. But those a lot of things to talk about. Again, is there anybody else in here that was at that press conference? With that, just in the back? It sure is on the cameras back.
Mickey.
Mm-hmm. Mickey doesn't count. He's been around. David, again, thank you, and looking forward to the time when we can sit down there and go over some of these old stories, and you can get your real truth from me at that time, okay? But guys, okay.
All right. We'll start out with the first question from David Moore.
David Moore, Dallas Morning News. In your discussions leading up, you're sitting at 12 here. What does it look like? There's going to be a cluster of 3, 4, 5 players you'll be happy with, and how does that have a ramifications as far as your willingness to potentially move back when you're on the clock?
I think me, I'd like for Will to speak to it. We've yet to put the board up. I'm going to invite you all back here after this to shoot a shot of the board. But seriously, and Will, I like Will. If you don't mind, I'd like to include Will here in terms of generally where you think the board is relative to the players.
You know, I think, you know, every draft is different, so we're going to have a certain number of players that we consider as first round players, and those guys that will come into contention whether we move back or not, that will depend on the depth of the draft, you know, how we graded those players and the decision from the decision makers.
The thing that I've noticed the most, we haven't put the board up, really haven't, but it's going up quick. Trust me, all the bones are there and ready to stick up there. But still, It has impressed me with the depth that there is in some of these positions, and we're not just thinking that because they're at that 12 spot. We had no idea that Micah Parsons would drop down there to us when he did, and so it do happen. And we certainly are not going to knowingly let a great player run through us for strategy or for trades up or down. But it's a big deal. I think it's a bigger deal today, draft players playing immediately. It's more of a challenge on coach that players are coming in and you're counting on them immediately. And that's a part of the game today is a lot of young players out there.
Clarence Hill, DLS Cowboys. Speaking of PR nightmares and trading great players, how have you taken in the Luka trade and how that's transpired the last few weeks?
Well, I'm a fan of the Mavericks, big fan of the Mavericks, and consequently a big fan of Luka. The world knows that I've got my hands full thinking about what we think about over here, much less trying to figure out. I look at the Maverick through a very much entertainment eye. And I know Luca was a personal friend and watched a lot of games with us and would hope that he would be able to watch some more games with us as we go along, know his family pretty well and his support staff pretty well. So all of that is just one as a fan. Now, Gene was All-State, scored 17 straight free throws in the state championship game. And Gene lives and dies with that basketball. And just cried when Luka left. But if I understand that, and I understand, frankly, you say, how could that happen? I've got a little bit probably better understanding how something like that can happen.
Regarding the draft, what is your goal for the 12th pick? And you said you haven't put the board up. You know, you want an instant impact player? You don't want to target a position. Obviously, you want BPA, but do you feel that you can get a guy that can be an instant impact player at 12?
Yes. Period.
And regarding the first round, how many first round picks, or you haven't even got that far? How many first round talents are in this draft?
We haven't gotten to the number yet, but it typically every year it's somewhere around on our board. It's somewhere around 15 to 18, and we'll see how that falls out this year.
Todd Archer with ESPN for Stephen, Jerry, and Will. When you have a new coaching staff and new assistants that haven't been part of your process, how do you go about? Do they get more leeway or more vision from you guys on what they're thinking, or do they have to earn their stripes at all through the process to understand how you guys work it when they come in during the process?
I think at the end of the day, one of the things that has been a big contributor to our success is the communications that we've had with any staff, whether it was Mike McCarthy's, whether it was Jason Garrett's, now whether it's Coach Shoddy's, is the communication we have with the scouting department, with Jerry, with myself, in terms of giving a vision of whether it what Shoddy and his offensive staff want, whether it's what Shoddy and Eberflus and the defensive staff want, getting a vision for the type of players that are going to enable us to have success on the field and what type of player we're looking for. And that does vary. It actually gives, one of the things that gave Jerry great pause is the fact that we're looking at three different defensive coordinators in 3 years. And even though they run certain things that are similar, there are things that are different. And when they're different, then that requires maybe a little different type of talent that you might be looking for in Dan Quinn's scheme versus Eberflus's schemes. But if you communicate that and communicate it well, you can certainly work through that and you certainly know what you're looking for in the draft. And hats off to the scouting department. Hats off to Coach Shoddy and his coaching staff in terms of the communication that's gone on with Jerry, myself, Will, and the scouting department, so we can have that vision for what we should be picking or what we should be looking for in a player when we get ready to draft a player.
One of the real advantages that I saw, and we all saw, Shoddy knows our team. He knows it as well as any coach could have known it other than Mike. And that was big, and that is big. And so we're getting the benefit of those new coaches sitting in. He's encouraged them to really be active in the process. And they were active, Will, with you scout on the road, going to workouts, certainly at the combines. But Shoddy has got them really not only fired up, but really talking the talk. And been great in the draft room, evoking from them. None of them have had any hesitancy to speak up and a value. But you're sitting there looking at Flus. I hadn't heard Flus in a long time. And he's had some experience from Chicago to give one under his wings and seen a lot of things that might work, might not work, those kinds of things. It is a great thing to have a makeup of that much input. And probably, have we ever come in here at this time and not had the board done? I don't think we have. Might not have the timing of being in here. But one of the reasons that board's not up until today is because this has been a longer, to me, process. But these coaches that Shot have got, they're ready to gnaw through the wall. They're ready to roll. I mean, they're really excited, and Shotty's encouraging them to. And, boy, you're seeing a lot of different ways to look at a player. And that should be very helpful to us, not just because these guys are going to be coaching them, because you're trying to get the right kind of player out there. There's never been, ever, since I've owned this team, a draft pick that I didn't in any way really get the input from who it is that would help solve the problem. No way. I look that, well, boy, when we're getting ready to pick, I'll look at him, and if he even blinks, I'll look what he's blinking about when we're getting ready to pick, and I'll measure Shoddy, or I'll be looking back there at Flus at this particular time and looking for body language, looking for conviction, looking for that kind of thing. Now, that's on top of the arduous process of evaluating them by standards that are really, we're in agreement so much. We're one of the best drafting teams in the NFL. I'll say that. We are. And that's because of the hard work that goes on to get there, and it's because of, in my mind, the process we use to make the decisions. I do not make the decision about that player. That's been made cumulatively, and it's been made cumulatively here and there, and I'm a tiebreaker maybe, but I hope to hell that I'm sitting there listening to all of this, sat in on all the meetings, been in all the stuff, and I hope that we come up with the very best decision. Not to mean that you can't water them down to complete homogenization if you wanted to. And you could literally get so much opinion that it would go and it'd be totally homogenized. And so you'd be hard to find maybe the edge that you're looking for right there. But that's the process that we go through there. And by the way, I don't mind telling you now, if somebody comes up and starts coming out of my mouth right about the time we're getting ready to pick, and it's an errant idea or an errant thing, don't you think it isn't all hell to pay now? Nobody around here is afraid to really step up here and say, wait a minute. Let's look at this real good. And Shotty's already shown me. I sit beside him, and he's already shown me he'll work my ass over.
Brian, how much do you want to get more speed on your offense?
It's always something you look at. Todd, at the end of the day, this is an exciting time of year. Speed in this league is important. It's not the only way to do it. The one thing about speed it gives you something you don't have to coach. And so the way we're going to play and the style that we're going to play, speed is an advantage, but it's not the only thing that we look at. And again, to speak to what Jerry and Steven and really Will were talking about, I've thoroughly enjoyed the process, the conversations, the disagreements, quite honestly, and then watching the kind of the conviction when you ultimately put the final grade on a player it's been awesome. And I feel really good heading into Thursday night.
John.
John Machota with The Athletic. Jerry, there's been some of your 30 visitors have talked about you having their mothers get them on the phone. Why have you done that? And maybe if you could share a story of maybe something that's come from that.
Well, it principally is for the moms and the dads. And I'd like to see the interplay between the player and his dad or his mom. I like to see that. I like to see it come back and forth. I think I can get a little read for their influence when you have it there. One player I came in,